Yeah. So this is what I felt God share with me to share with you today. You might see the title and think, well, that's quite a negative topic, you know, dealing with disagreements. But actually, it's going to be quite a positive message, I think. That's how I felt when I had been thinking about this topic for quite a while now. And as I prepared this message, you can see we'll be looking mainly from the book of Acts, also from a couple of other places in the New Testament. Now, just to give you a bit of background, the reason why I'm speaking on this is I've had this in my mind for several months about disagreements, different things happening, and you know, disagreements happen, or I see that disagreements have happened, not necessarily here, by the way, other places. I've got a friend where they've had a really difficult time in their church. There's been massive disagreements, and it's pretty much caused a split in the church. It's really horrible. There's been two sides, two factions, and it's just all got out of hand. And so a lot of these things have been on my mind. I've been talking to my friend about that. And I felt drawn to a particular passage in Acts, and from there I was carried on reading through the book of Acts, different bits, and I felt that I got a message for you today. Now, before we actually get into the main message, I'm going to give you a few moments to just take a break and talk to each other. And what I'm going to ask you to do is to just share what you know about the Apostle Paul with somebody next to you. So it could just be a couple of things. And the reason for this, Sheila and I went to a midnight... Is it a Christmas Eve service, Sheila? A Christmas Eve midnight service at St. Margaret's Church, which is up by where we live. And when the minister was giving the message, he was talking about Abraham. You know Abraham from the Bible? Yeah? And behind us, there were some young people. I think it was a family who just decided to go to the service. I don't think they were Christians who would go to church every week. And one of the lads behind me said, "Is he talking about Abraham Lincoln? You know, Abraham Lincoln." And they weren't joking. They honestly thought that he was talking about Abraham Lincoln, one of the US presidents. So, you know, I'm talking about Paul, the Apostle Paul. So it'd be really good just to share with somebody just something you know about the Apostle Paul from the Bible. So I'll give you a couple of minutes to do that. So off you go. Chat to somebody next to you. Okay, I won't ask for feedback because of time. So hopefully you had loads of things you could share, lots of things that you just know, knowledge about things that the Apostle Paul did and said. And maybe you referred to things from the Bible. Or maybe actually you were struggling and you couldn't think of many things. And if you're in that position, that's okay. But you know, you've always got the chance to find out more, haven't you? You can always go away and choose to read more about the things that people did in the early church. Because God speaks to us through the Bible. So we're going to be looking at the Apostle Paul, as you could probably guess. And we're going to look at three disagreements in the book of Acts. Slightly different situations each time. And we're going to try and, you know, listen to God as we read the passages. I'll have some thoughts to share. But I want us to think straight away about application, how we can apply this to ourselves. Because we all have to deal with disagreements. We can disagree with each other within church, and we can disagree with other Christians outside of church, and we can disagree with non-Christians. And maybe how we actually deal with those situations will be slightly different. But kind of the take-home message, if you're going to just switch off for the rest of the message now, this is the bit I want you to listen to, is that we just really need to be aware of God's Spirit in us. I wrote down something that Pallavi, when she was leading us in that song, that we need to have the right heart before God and allow him to have his way in us. And I think often when we have disagreements, where they end up becoming really severe, in whatever situation, in church or out of church, is when we stop listening to God's voice. We stop him having his way in us, and we become proud and arrogant, and things get really difficult. So hopefully you'll see that God's Spirit was very much at work. God was working in the hearts of his people in these situations. So you can go to sleep now if you want, because that was the main point. That was a joke. Okay. Just checking you're awake. Okay, thank you. Okay, so So three areas, and the so what we've just dealt with, you know, the application for you, because we all have to deal with disagreements. And as I was coming up and thinking about the title, I've realised that this is the sort of message where I could easily make this two or three messages. There's so many things I could unpack, so I'll try and be brief on things. So our first disagreement is in Acts chapter 15. You can follow along if you want, but I'll be reading out from here. So Acts chapter 15, and I'll be reading from verse 1. I will skip some bits, and I'll just fill in the blanks. So it's kind of the little title for that passage or that section is called the Council at Jerusalem. So there was a meeting together of the early Christian leaders because they were dealing with a problem. So let's read Acts chapter 15. Certain people came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the believers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. This brought Paul and Barnabas into sharp dispute and debate with them. So Paul and Barnabas were appointed, along with some of the other believers, to go up to Jerusalem to see the apostles and elders about this question. I'm just going to pause there. Now, this was a serious thing because it was on a really key point of teaching in the early church. We sometimes use the word doctrine, a key teaching. And if this hadn't been sorted out, it would have caused a lot of problems in the early church. They had to deal with this disagreement, this dispute. That there were people who were coming from, who were previously Jews, saying that basically the Christians had to be circumcised as taught by Moses. Otherwise they couldn't be saved. So they were adding a requirement on to be saved and to be made right with God. And Paul and Barnabas really disagree with this. So they go up to Jerusalem to discuss. So I'll carry on reading. I'll start from verse 4. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and elders, to whom they reported everything God had done through them. Then some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, the Gentiles, so that's the people who are not Jews, so everybody else, must be circumcised and required to keep the law of Moses. The apostles and elders met to consider this question. After much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them, and Peter says various things. I won't read them out, but you can tell there's a discussion going on. Different people are weighing in with their different views. And then later, in verse 12, it says, the whole assembly, all the people gathered, became silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul. They were telling about what they had done among the Gentiles. So they were talking about the work they had done with the non-Jews, and how God was doing amazing things. And it goes on. Then James also speaks in verse 13. And we go and we go on and we go on. And eventually they come to an agreement. And they solve the problem. And if you don't know about that particular account, then you could read it maybe later this week or this afternoon about what it was all about. But we finally had an agreement. Maybe the Pharisees just needed to hear about what God was doing in the lives of the Gentiles. And so that discussion was good, even though it started with a very sharp disagreement, where Paul and Barnabas were like, no, this isn't right, we need to deal with this. Maybe they just needed to listen to each other and listen to God through that. We do believe, and I think it's happened this morning, it happens regularly in our services, we believe that God speaks to us through his Holy Spirit. And it may be through something we sing, or it may be something that somebody prayed. We believe that God speaks to us. And we believe that we have God's Holy Spirit in us. So that was disagreement number one. There was a disagreement, which was very important. It couldn't have just been said, let's just forget, let's just leave it. But they got together, they discussed, they talked, they listened to each other, they listened to God. And I'm sure through all of that, there would have been some element of prayer. I don't know whether they would actually just, pause and said, let's all pray now. But there definitely would have been a prayerful attitude to what was going on. And they found a solution. So that was the first one. Our second one isn't quite in Acts. It's in Galatians. but the reason why I can say that we're looking in Acts is this would have happened at around the same kind of time in the early church. When Acts was written, what we're about to read now is a similar situation. So in Galatians chapter 2, and I'm going to read from verse 11. And this is our friend Paul, the Apostle Paul again. So verse 11. When Cephas, which is Peter, when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. Okay, that's quite stark. For before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles, because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. So what was happening was, Cephas, Peter, was changing his behaviour depending on who was around. He wasn't really showing integrity, so he'd be happy to sit with the Gentiles, but when the Jewish people from the circumcision part, the ones who were saying, you know, the Gentiles need to be circumcised, he was a bit worried about, you know, mixing with them, because he was worried they might have a go at him. So he kind of just pretended he didn't know them. So he wasn't acting in the right way. Paul saw this. He could see it wasn't right, and he opposed Peter about it. And then it goes on. The other Jews joined him, so that's joined Peter, in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. Now, you heard Barnabas being mentioned in the other passage. Paul and Barnabas did a lot of work together. They spent a lot of time spreading the good news about Jesus and setting up churches. And we'll come back to Paul and Barnabas for our third disagreement. And it goes on, verse 14. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in front of them all, "You are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs?" So all Paul was doing was just pointing out his hypocrisy, that what he supposedly believes isn't lining up with what he's doing. Now, we kind of know, we don't actually know the exact answer of what was said after that in terms of what happened. But I think it's fair to say that they listened, and they would have taken that kind of that rebuke, where you basically get told off quite clearly, look, your behaviour isn't matching up with what you believe or what you say. That's why you're being a hypocrite. And maybe sometimes we need to do that as Christians. Notice that Paul wasn't violent or aggressive. He just spoke plainly, just spoke straight. I think it would have been stern, though. I think he would have been stern with them when that would have happened. So it was a serious issue. I think in that situation, Paul, when he witnessed what was going on, he could kind of clock what was going on, how Peter was just changing where he was standing in the room, or he moved away, that he probably felt God speak to him by the Spirit that this needed to be dealt with. And so although there was a disagreement, again, there was resolution, because Paul had listened to God. And the thing about Barnabas, which that kind of jumped out at me when I was reading this passage, when I was preparing, was the fact that even Barnabas was led astray. So he was led astray by the actions of Peter and some of the other Jews, where they were being hypocrites. Because if you know, if you know some of the of Acts and the New Testament, you'll know that Paul and Barnabas really worked together as a good team. And they did a lot of good things. I mentioned that they went around telling people about Jesus, spreading the gospel, preaching, doing good works, miracles. They set up churches in lots of different areas. So I think Paul would have been upset to see, you know, his friend and colleague in the gospel being led astray in that way. It must have been sad for him. So that was our second disagreement. Our third and final disagreement. I struggled to get pictures that would match, by the way, so they're a bit weird. This is supposed to be Paul and Barnabas here. But you can see they're a little bit upset with each other, maybe a little bit stubborn. They're not actually arguing face to face and having a big, you know, debacle. They're just upset with each other. So we're going to go back to Acts chapter 15. It's actually just after the bit that we read. So after the bit about the Council of Jerusalem, and we're going to pick up from verse 36. So Acts chapter 15, verse 36. So I'll read. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it wise to take him, because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. So they basically split up as a team. Their disagreement was so sharp that they eventually just went their separate ways. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. So they went their separate ways. They took Paul went with Silas, and Barnabas went with John Mark. John also called Mark. So what happened here? You know, this doesn't seem like Christian behaviour, does it? You know, these two men were, you know, they were apostles, that they were like the top leaders in the early church. They had a disagreement and they couldn't sort it out. You know, we might say, you know, you need to act like adults, you just need to settle your differences, you need to move on. And for some reason they couldn't. Now, there needs to maybe just a little bit of background, just in case you're not sure, but the issue was to do with this guy called John. And back in Acts 13, all three of them were out spreading the gospel, Paul, Barnabas, and John Mark. And there's just one little line which just says that John Mark left them and went back to Jerusalem. Now, when you read Acts chapter 13, you might wonder what's that about. Why did John leave? It doesn't say. But later, we've just read, Paul uses the word deserted. He said that he didn't think it was wise to take John with them because he deserted them. So he didn't think that he was maybe worthy or maybe in the right mindset, or maybe wasn't right with God to be coming out with them on this mission journey. But Paul, Barnabas was different. And now Barnabas is a really interesting guy. His name originally was actually Joseph, if you didn't know that. And he was actually renamed Barnabas by the apostles. And I think I've got the reference here. So it's in Acts chapter 4, so near to the beginning of Acts. And it says in verse 36, "Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement." So Barnabas was an encourager. He kind of saw the best in people. He wanted to encourage them in the faith. And ironically, he was the one who actually encouraged all the other apostles to accept Paul. So you might know when you were sharing, you might know that Paul used to be a persecutor of Christians, that he was a Jew, and he was actually rounding up Christians in the early church, and having them put in prison or killed. And then there's that amazing moment when the Lord Jesus, the risen Lord Jesus, spoke to him, and he was blinded, and he came to believe in the Lord Jesus. But the problem was, when he tried to then come and join in with the Christian disciples, they were all scared of him. They probably thought that he was just, trying to trick them to get into their group, infiltrate them, to then have them all rounded up. And it was actually Barnabas who said, "No, this is what's happened to Paul." So he testified. And I'll read that. So in Acts chapter 9, so this is talking about Paul. "When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul," which was Paul's previous name, or his Jewish name, I guess, "how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord, and the Lord Jesus, had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus." So I think this disagreement that Paul and Barnabas had was really sad, given their history. I think Barnabas just wanted to give John Mark a second chance. He saw something in him. He wanted him to be part of the work and to go on this mission journey. Now, we need to be careful here, and I need to be careful, because what am I saying to you? Am I saying if you have a disagreement with somebody in the church that you should go your separate ways? Am I saying that? Mark's laughing. No, I'm not saying that. Okay. There are certain things where churches split or people go their separate ways. And normally, or what they should be about, is to do with doctrine and teaching. Okay. So if, you know, one of the elders started to preach something completely different to what is in the Bible, I hope that some of you or all of you would pull us aside and say, you know, what's going on? Why are you teaching this crazy teaching? Or if we start denying Jesus, or we deny what we thought about in communion, that Jesus died for us. You know, imagine if one of the elders said, oh, you know, maybe Jesus didn't really exist. We don't really know. I hope you would all say, this is a serious issue. We need to get this sorted. And if the elders completely went astray, that would be cause for you to decide to leave and go to another church. But that isn't what we've got here. Because this issue to do with John Mark was actually to do with personality. And it was to do with the way of doing things. Okay? And, you know, there wasn't anything in the Bible that could have, any of the scriptures that they had access to, that would have helped Paul and Barnabas decide who was right. When we actually read the passage, it's not even clear who was in the wrong. So the author who we believe wrote Acts, Luke, he doesn't really say who was right or wrong. And I don't think actually there was necessarily a right and wrong in it. It was just a difference of opinion, but it was really strong. But I want you to notice what happened after. Both men went on carrying on serving God. It wasn't that Barnabas just had a hissy fit and said, I haven't got my way, I've had enough for you, Paul, I'm just going to go back and do my own thing, and then went astray and didn't carry on following God and serving God. Both went to carry on serving God. And actually, in some strange way, their split meant they accomplished more for God's kingdom than what they could do together. Because originally it was the two of them working together, and then when they split, they each took separate mission partners and they went and worked in different places. Another really interesting thing as well is after all of this, you can read in some of Paul's letters that he actually considers Mark, this guy who he didn't have any faith in, he considers him to be useful for the gospel. He says in 2 Timothy, this is Paul speaking, get Mark and bring him with you because he's helpful to me in my ministry. This was written after this event in Acts. And then later, Paul refers to Mark and Barnabas, who, by the way, were cousins. And he speaks about them in a good way. So clearly, although they had their differences and they decided to separate, I don't think actually this picture is really correct in how they decided to separate. They might have had a disagreement like this initially, but I think when they split in an amicable way. And they kept God central to it in their decision. I'm sure they prayed and fasted over this issue. But they decided, for the sake of the gospel, so that it wouldn't cause any problems with spreading God's word and planting churches, that they would just have to split on this issue. And that's what happened. So I'm going to summarise now. In all those three situations, there were different types of disagreements. But what was important is that the people kept their focus on God. They were serving God first and foremost. They weren't taken over by their pride or their own ideas. Because I know I felt whenever I, in any situation, church or work, previous work, the work I'm doing now, when you have your own ideas and you suggest ideas and people don't agree, it hurts your pride. And you're like, oh, but I really like that idea. But if we always have our focus on God and what he's doing, and we allow him to have his way in us, as Pallavi led us in that song, we allow God to have his way, then even in this disagreement, whether we can actually solve it by getting together and talking about it and agreeing to a solution, like at the council, or whether there has to be a harsh conversation, or whether actually there needs to be a splitting of ways in some way, or maybe you can't work with a particular person in that area, as long as God is kept central and he's the focus, then that's all that matters. So I hope that's been helpful in some way. Notice I haven't really told you about the mechanics of how you deal with disagreements. You know, when there's a disagreement, what do you actually do? Well, the first thing I always do is just pray. And one thing I would leave you with is whenever you are in a situation with another Christian, because this can happen with non-Christians as well, but with another Christian, if you have to have a conversation with them or a meeting about something, the first thing you should do is to pray, and to pray with them and pray for them and encourage them to pray for you. Because if you can't do that, then it probably is going to lead to a really difficult situation where things explode, things get out of hand, and then God isn't in it, his spirit's not in it. And our own selfish, sinful ways are getting in the way there. So I'll finish there. I do have one song, short song for us to finish, but I'll just pray and then we'll sing our final kind of refrain together. So let's pray now. Father God, I thank you for what we can read and learn about all of the apostles and leaders in the early church. I thank you that we can learn from the lives of people like Paul and Barnabas. Father, we thank you that we know that this is scripture, it's your word, that it can teach us, it can help us, it can even rebuke us when we have wrong thinking. Father, I do pray for all of us that if we're in a situation at the moment where we're in a disagreement with somebody, whoever it is, that we'll be able to keep you central to that, that we'll be able to pray about the situation, that we'll be able to think well of the other person. Father, we thank you that we do have your spirit in us, that we aren't just having to bumble along in life, trying to make things up as we go along, that we can come to you, we can turn to you, and we can ask your spirit to just gently guide us, to mould us, to chip away all of our imperfections. And we just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.